Hey everybody, welcome to Crosswind Church Podcasts. We hope this message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
So 2 weeks ago, about this time, nine people from Crosswind Church got on a plane in Memphis and flew down to Miami, Florida. And then from Miami, they flew out and landed in Honduras. And because of their faithfulness and willingness to go, and your commitment as Crosswind Church to give, we get to celebrate today all that God did a couple weeks ago through our ministry, our missions team in Honduras, right here at Crosswind Church. So I'm excited about that. If you're new to Crosswind Church, this morning we take about one Sunday out of the year to talk about, usually right after a team comes back, and we celebrate what all God has done through our missions team and through not only their going, but as I said, your giving, and you're a part of that, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. And so this morning I need you to go to Romans chapter 10 for a couple of reasons. The first one is, Wednesday night with our students, we started talking about the greatest commandment, right? Jesus tells us this, that you love God and love others, and he kind of does this package deal. And I made this comment about that you start reading the Bible in the Gospels, right? And I've said this before to you guys, and you understand this, but I wanted to make sure they understood it, and so I'll say it to those of you who might be new. The Bible is not like any other book that you've ever read. Right? Like when you get a book, you open it and you start on the first page with the first chapter in the first book. You don't start there, because if you do, things get weird quick. Okay? There are stories that your Sunday school teacher or your small group leader, they left out for a reason. And so you typically don't do that. It's not usually my preference and what I tell people. I always encourage people to start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the opening part of the New Testament section for a couple of reasons. Number one, mainly that part was written for you specifically, and mainly because Jesus is the foundation of your faith, not the creation story. And so anyway, we started talking about this. And so the more and more I thought about the Gospels, how it literally means good news. And four guys, right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four men in the very first century wrote down the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's how all this got started, right? Like we don't just show up here because we have nothing to do on Sunday mornings. It's literally because the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so for the past 2,000 years, we just haven't been able to shut up about the Gospels, the gospel and the good news and all those things. And so what's really interesting, if you read the Gospels, right, especially if you read the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is resurrected and he hangs out with his buddies for about 40 days. And he tells them, I need you to go. I don't need you studying, right? Because this wasn't even, you know, put together yet, right? And this is where we mess up a lot of times as Christians is we want to spend more time reading and studying and Sundaying and singing and listening to the message than we want to do the very thing that Jesus told his disciples to do 2,000 years ago, and that was to go. Luke would not only write the Gospel of Luke, but he also writes a follow-up. It's called Acts. It's the fifth book in the New Testament section of your Bible. He writes the Gospel of Luke, telling you all the things Jesus said and did. And then after Jesus ascends into heaven, what's the church going to do, or what we call the church, right? What's the followers of Jesus going to do? And so he records that in what we know as the Gospel or the Acts of the Apostles. And a great, great place to start if you're new to Bible reading. But if you're a chronological person, right, you got to go from this one to the next one right after it. Eventually, you're going to find yourself in what is, in my opinion, one of the greatest pieces of literature that came out of the first century in what we know as the letter of Romans, the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul writes this letter to Christians in Rome in the very first century. Now, you got to understand, at the time, in the first century, Rome is like the New York City. It is one of the largest places. Everybody goes there, and Christianity has found itself there. There are Christians who are living in Rome, and they're trying to figure out what to do. How to live for Jesus, how to follow Jesus, what does this mean in all the different cultures, all the different people groups? And let's just be honest, Christians can make things complicated, can't we? Right? There are business meetings that would back that up, right? There are church disputes and church splits, and let's just be honest, sometimes Christians make things complicated. And the Apostle Paul has already at this time written a letter that we know as Galatians. He's already talked about the complex of the gospel, and he's tried to talk through some of that. And now that these things are happening in Rome, he's writing again because we've just made things too complicated. As Christians, we make things way too complicated when it comes to the gospel. And the reason I say that is because some of you, when we hear the word gospel, when we hear what the literal and definitive translation of that means, good news, when you are presented with the gospel, you don't have to answer out loud, but more than likely, you know that the version that you were presented, it didn't sound like good news, did it? It sounded like a bunch of rules and routines and rituals of religious people that they didn't even look like they were enjoying life. So why should you do what they say? Because they're not enjoying life or having any fun doing it either. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, if you've been presented with a gospel that's not good news, that's not a gospel at all. And Paul actually says that in Galatians. And so in all of this that is happening in the first century, Paul writes this letter and he tries to clear up some of the stuff. He tries to break it down and be a lot more simple than it actually is. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. In other words, it's good news. Because you don't have to work up a bunch of things. You don't have to save up a bunch of good deeds to get grace. You don't have to do a bunch of good work and try to earn off all your sins and all your mistakes in order to get right with God. Jesus literally did it for you. He came to live, to die, and be resurrected. And the good news is not only that, but now that that has been done, it's been recorded and collected and treasured and presented to you in the Gospels. Paul says, if you'll believe that this Jesus is who he says he is, you don't have to work off your sins. You don't have to do a bunch of rules and regulations and rituals to get right with God. All you got to do is believe that he is exactly who he says he is. Professing your faith. This is why, for those of you who've been in Crosswind for very long, you know when we do water baptisms, we do a little video allowing the person to profess their faith in Jesus, not just to get wet on a Sunday morning, right? Like, there is a reason why we do this. This is what Paul says. We have made it too complex. It's really simple. Jesus has done all the hard work. Right? Paul would also say in Galatians that God sent Jesus at the appointed time. Right? No more commandments, no more kings, no more prophets or prophecies, the Son of God. And he lived, he died, he was resurrected, and he told his disciples, I need you to go into all of the world to be my witnesses of this. Did this that he was referring to was his resurrection, being witnesses of the resurrection. And Paul clearly tells us, if you believe that Jesus did these things, and professing that faith, you are saved. It's not complicated. And here's why it's good news. Verse 11. As Scripture says, anyone, say anyone. Fantastic. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love the lingo here. Anyone. All. Everyone. In other words, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. Doesn't matter what your educational level is or isn't. Doesn't matter what your last name is or what kind of car you drove into the parking lot this morning. Like, none of that stuff that culture and society pushes upon us, none of that stuff matters. When Paul says Jew and Gentile, he's talking about these two differing groups of people, right? All, everyone, everybody. That's good news. You don't have to grow up in the church to become a Christian, to have faith in Christ, right? You have to be a part of a certain family. You don't have to have so much money in your 401k. It's none of those things. It's real simple. Anyone who believes that Jesus says he's exactly who he says he is, professing faith, all who call on him, everyone, you are saved. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's why the church exists today, because we haven't been able to shut up talking about it for 2,000 years. Not because we need something to do on a Sunday morning, not to raise some money, but to simply spread the gospel. That's what Jesus told us to do. Now, those are the verses that Christians like, right? We like the reading and the studying, and we like these verses, right? We like these verses. The problem is, Paul keeps writing. In the next section of Scripture, he's going to ask some rhetorical questions that you and I, we get, right? We understand this because we're intellectual and smart human beings. We get this, right? If you have something that is good, if you have something that is good news, what are you going to do with it? This is what he says. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring, what kind of news? Good news. How great is it when good news shows up? How great is it to believe in Jesus because you were sitting in a church service, you went to a VBS, you went to a church camp or revival or whatever your story is, and you were presented with the good news that God sent his son at the appointed time to live, to die, and be resurrected for your sins. So stop thinking this is a works-based system. This is a grace-based system. Jesus has done all the work. All you have to do is believe in him and profess your faith, and you are saved. Great news, but now there's responsibility. How did you hear about the good news? Was someone sent? Did someone preach? Did someone teach? Did someone act or behave in a certain way that was contrary to your natural self and you wondered what was going on there? Why are they giving up 60 minutes of their Sunday morning? Why are they giving money to a church? Why are they serving and volunteering at a church? Why in the world would they give up vacation time? Why would they give up resources to travel from Memphis to Miami to Honduras? Are these people crazy? Don't answer that. It's because Jesus said go. And Paul says, if you have such a great message, if you have good news, shouldn't we be doing something with it? And the answer is yes. And so 11 months ago, November of last year, I stood on this stage, basically at this same spot, and I said, I have an audacious, ridiculous, wild, some people are going to call it crazy, stupid vision for what we should do at Crosswind Church when it comes to mission trip. And here's what I said. Everyone should go one time. That was the vision that was presented. That I am such a fan, I am such a believer, that somehow, some way, when normal human beings give up of their time and their resources and leave what they know, their comfort, their luxuries here in the States, and goes to serve other people who will never be able to repay them, somehow, some way, by the miraculous and the divine, it will change your life. I'm a believer in it, and so I've decided at Crosswind Church that my encouragement for every single person, especially if you're an owner of Crosswind Church, right? You've signed the dotted line, you're in, I'm an owner, this is my home church, all those, that different kind of lingo. Like, I'm really talking to you. Every one of you should go one time for a couple reasons. And I've said this before that, and this isn't in Scripture, okay? So don't try to find the Bible book and verse, because this isn't in Scripture, this is my personal opinion. I think you shouldn't be able to go to heaven until you go on a mission trip. Now, I know that sounds mean, right? But, like, think about it. It's not a prerequisite, right? We've already seen what Paul said. Just believe, right? But like, come on. For those of you who you've been following Jesus for a little bit or a long time, and like, you don't have to admit this, but like, you can kind of think it in your head. Your faith is just kind of plateaued, right? And you've gotten into the rhythm and the routine and the rules and the regulations and all the things that you thought was the gospel, but really it's just legalism. And your faith is just kind of plateaued. I'm talking to you. Because somehow, some way, when you step onto a foreign nation and you kind of give up the controllability that you love and you put your confidence in another ministry, in another nation, God shows up. And look, I could spend the next 22 minutes trying to explain it to you, but I just can't. Like, I can't put it into words. You got to trust me, just somehow God just orchestrates it so well that it will literally change your life. And so I'm a direct believer, and it's my vision and my mission that everyone at Crosswind Church should go one time. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I said that last year, have you ever said something that you thought, I don't think I should have said that, right? Especially if you're married. I'm a husband. Let's pick on husbands. Have you ever said something and maybe, like, it wasn't an argument or a spat just yet, but, like, we were headed in that direction, and, like, you said something and you were like, whoop, I wish I hadn't said that, right? It was one of those moments where I thought, I'm going to challenge Crosswind Church to consider going, and I thought that might have been the dumbest thing I ever said. And they should not put that message online. I should not be welcome back. All that, you know, it's just kind of like one of those wild, crazy thoughts. But there were some people in the room last November that heard that. The challenge of going just one time. Just one time. And they signed up. And 2 weeks ago, about this time, they were just about to land in Honduras, and they saw God work and move and minister. And if I were to bring them all on stage, they would probably tell you that God did more in me than I in them. And again, that's the crazy, chaotic formula of a mission trip, and it's just super hard to explain. So, if we're going to be a missions-minded church, which our elders have decided, if we're going to be a generous church, which we have decided to be, we have years ago decided that for a long-term partnership, we're going to partner with MDM in Honduras, a local ministry that does incredible, amazing, amazing work. And so this was set long ago, and we've just continued this partnership. We've continued to build on the relationships that are established. And many of you have gone, and it's incredible. And like I said, you try to put it in words, and it's just really hard to explain. And so we're just going to go every year. We're going to try to go every single year. And so I'm excited today to announce that we've got a 2026 trip planned. And I want to go ahead and give you those details so that you can begin thinking and looking and considering what would it look like to go to Honduras in 2026. So next year's trip, June 15th through the 21st, 2026, rough estimated cost, $2,000. Now, a few months ago, we did this volunteer event at Crosswind Church, and we wanted to play this Family Feud-style game. And one of the questions in the game, or we wanted to survey you guys. Some of you helped us out with this. One of the questions was, what is something that makes you nervous, kind of makes you squirm, kind of fidgety in your seat when it's talked about in church? And the number one answer was money, which I love money. I love talking about money. And so I thought today, as I unveil the dates, right, and everybody checks their calendar, and yes, no, maybe so, all that kind of stuff, I've also got to talk about money, and that makes people nervous, but it kind of excites me because I don't mind talking about money. And so I want to talk about money because here's what I know. Anytime we talk about trips, it's going to cost something, right? And what's amazing is when a preacher stands up on money, everybody freaks out. But y'all, like, let's just be honest, y'all spent a lot of money on fall break if you went somewhere, didn't you? You spent a lot of money this past summer when you went somewhere, didn't you? You spent a lot of money when you went somewhere to watch the ball game or the weekend trip or stuff. So, like, just take a deep breath. It's okay, right? I'm not like taking credit cards up this morning. It's going to be fine, right? Chill out, all right? The question really is when you see $2,000, you're like, heck no, there's no way, there's no how, this just can't do that. Well, let's talk about what it would look like to find $2,000 before June of 2026. It's roughly 8 months away, so if you wanted to break it down like that, it's only $250 a month. Now, if you're like me and you were born in the 1900s, that's basically a car payment from the 1900s, right? Like, it's just a simple $250. Just find a small car payment in your budget. You'll be fine. But, like, that's, like, let's just be honest. That's not car payments today. And so that's a big deal just to find $250 laying around in your month to month. And so you can't do $2,000. $250 a month, probably can't do that as well. Let's break it down per week, right? If we broke it down per week, we're looking at $58.82 a week. Y'all, I spent more than that on my DoorDash order Friday night. Now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? What would it look like to delete the DoorDash app? What would it look like to give up one or two of the streaming services that you pay for but you're never at home to watch? Right, let's keep breaking it down. What would it look like per day? $8.37? Oh, that's my extra large specialty cup of coffee, isn't it? That's going out to eat every single day. Oh, well, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? Because looking at $2,000 in one lump sum, heck no, can't do it. The holidays are coming. I got to pay off my credit card from fall break, or I got stuff. You got stuff. I get it, right? You're human beings. You live in America. I got it. But wait a minute. When we break it down, all of a sudden, this looks a little bit more feasible. But here's the problem. Right? And I told the first services, and I think I made all them mad, so out of respect for them and y'all, I got to make y'all mad too. We're just lazy. Because here, and this is like my own bank account as well, so I get this as well. I find it real easy to give Netflix my card information. I find it real easy to give Amazon my card information. I find it real easy to give my card information on the apps or on the sites when I want something in return. But when it's a next step in my faith, if I'm the person sitting here this morning in the room or watching online and I'm just interested in Sunday songs and sermons, you're not taking these steps, are you? And so here is a real life picture of what it could look like between today and June. What could you give up? What could you say, I need something to jumpstart, to ignite my faith? What would it look like? Because 2025 didn't work out and I couldn't go. And I thought about it in 2024, and in 2023, if I was real honest, I was like, I ain't going over there. But now all of a sudden, through the years, through the vision, through the messaging of our Savior, I think it's about time for me to consider it. Everyone, one time. And so thinking about your current situation, what would it look like to go? Could you break it down like this? For the next 8 months to say, hey, I'm going to take a next step in my faith. I'm not just going to be caught up in doing the same old, same old. So, in addition to that, I've got even better news. I don't know if you know this or not, but you sit in a church that wants and desperately is very, very generous. And the reason that I can say the church is generous, it's not because the building or the lights is generous, it's because the people in this service and the one prior to this one are generous. Because years and years ago, they decided, the leadership that was, that we were going to be a generous church and we were going to create a fund so that not only could we fund the projects on these mission trips, but we could also help those who wanted to go and who could not give up $8.37 a day, or who could not find $250 in their budget per month. And so many of you, whether it's week to week, or it's a monthly gift, or it's a random, or it's a specifically an end of the year gift, for years, months, and weeks, you have given to what we call Crosswind On Missions Offering, or it's famously known as COMO. Money given directly into this account only go toward those things. Not only for the projects, right? Putting roofs on houses, putting concrete floor in what used to be just a simple dirt floor, providing food baskets to community members, to building water filtration systems with 5-gallon buckets. Like, to fund that project costs things, and because of your faithfulness and generosity to give, a mission team of 9 people 2 weeks ago got to land in Honduras and do those things. It's not just a willingness and a commitment to go. It's a faithfulness and a generosity mindset to give. And so for some of you, you've already seen the date. You've already seen the dollar amount. And you're like, there's no way I can make that happen. I would love to go, Garrett, but this, it's just not my year. I get it. I don't expect all of you to go. That would be like, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. But like, I don't really expect that, right? You're busy people. I get it. But while not everybody will go, few will go, all of us can give. And so my challenge for Crosswind Church, like it was last year, heads up, like it will be next year, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what next year's message is going to be, is if you can't go, would you give? Give so someone else can go, so someone else can go and put some water filtration systems together to minister and pray to a family in need who will never be able to repay them, or at least in the way that we Americans think that we should be repaid. Now, again, I could try to take up a 30, 35-minute time spot in trying to tell you what missions are all about and all those things, but really, it's just so hard to put into words. It's so hard to put into words how something as simple as taking a week, taking 4 or 5 days, and going to another country to spread the gospel in practical ways changes not only their lives, but yours as well. So, don't take my word for it. Take theirs and check out this video.
Every trip that I take to San Matias deepens my faith in ways I just can't explain. There's something so special about this mountain and the ministry, and it pulls you closer to God and it makes you hunger for more. The people at MDM are some of the most warm, loving, welcoming people that I've ever met, and they have truly become family to me.
The Spirit of the Lord is in Honduras. It's very hard to explain it, but everyone should go and experience it.
One of the things that stood out to me was how much we were able to accomplish despite being from different backgrounds and even speaking different languages. And it just goes to show, if you're there with one reason, one purpose, and that's to serve God, that it doesn't matter what obstacles you may or may not face, you can accomplish any task at hand with a little faith.
To me, being active in missions makes you realize how focused we get on things that don't really matter. At the end of the day, it's all about loving God and loving people, not being distracted by all the things or business in life.
A mission trip isn't just about changing someone else's life. It's about changing yours. When you step into unfamiliar places with a willing heart, you begin to see the world through His eyes. You'll realize that a mission isn't just a moment, that it's a mindset.
You know, it was one moment during a trip, we were getting ready to pull a concrete mixture up the side of the mountain, and roughly 300 yards, I would say, from the bottom to the top, pretty good incline. And you know, I made a little joke. I was looking around, I made a little joke. I said, I sure do wish that hill would get smaller. And And Blaze looked at me and he got a smile and he just said, God's got this. And in that moment, I thought, man, what a perfect answer.
The true faith in God that the people of San Matias have is eye-opening. Multiple families chose to pray for us over their own needs. The man we built a roof for told me, I have nothing here, but with God, I have everything that I need. I received so much more than I was able to give in my time there. We all should learn to take the time to focus on what truly matters. Love God and love each other.
Us showing up is proof to them that God is alive and working in their lives because we came with answered prayers. They love me and I love them without saying a word.
The people are truly grateful for the things that we take for granted every single day, and their faith is so inspiring to me. Being surrounded by such genuine love and thankfulness has reminded me how powerful simple faith can be. I came on this trip to serve, but I feel like I have received the greatest gift.
It was one of the best experiences I've ever been a part of. It was incredible, and it's one of them things that's always gonna stay with you. You're never gonna forget that you were there.
I'm so thankful for the way God continues to lead me in missions. My prayer is that others feel the same tug on their hearts and are inspired to do the same, not only to grow in their own faith, but also to love others as God loves us, because that's what He commands us to do. And I
never will fall. Thank you, Crosswind, for being here. Thank you, Crosswind family.
So, to quote Wade Maddox, I loved his quote, mission trips don't just change their lives, it changes yours. And several years ago, Amber Minton experienced that in a real way. She led our trip this past year and fell in love with MDM and the Honduran people and all that. And so one of the conversations that we had when they got back was, I know exactly what I want to do next year. And so we're excited about what we're going to be doing next year. And so they now know the dates. They now know the cost. I want you, Amber, to share what we're going to do in partnership with MDM next year.
I am extremely excited. I've never come back from a trip before and said, this is what I'm doing. This is when we're doing it. So just a little background on this trip. When I came in 2019 with my husband, Blaze, after we got married, we went to a school and we worked at this school and we built up this school. We did some painting, building stuff for the classrooms that needed, bookshelves, library. They put in a kitchen. It's a lot of things with this school. So fast forward to this trip, within conversation with some of the people there at Honduras, one of our interpreters, who we have just grown to love, all of the people there, and sharing back and forth with them, we were talking about the place that we were going the next day to do water filters. It was right across the street from the school, and I was like, can we go to the school? Can we go hang out with the kids? Can we see it? You know, and the whole team was on board for that. So after we did water filters that day, we went across the street, and in the end of that video, you can see the kids in the white uniforms. That was them at the school there. So we went to the school after, and just kind of in conversation, Blaze came to me with Bonnie, and Bonnie said, I want to show you something. And they took us down to this building. This school, when we first started going, they were sending tutors to help with the school because they couldn't keep teachers. Now, eventually, they have grown to have two teachers at that school. They've outgrown the space. They've outgrown the room for the kids, and now the government is going to give them a third teacher, which is a huge deal. But they need space. Right now, the kids are sitting outside waiting for the other class to get done, and then they're taking turns inside and outside with the lessons. The library that we came to do, about an 8x8 storage closet that we made into a library, they're now using for their kindergarten class. So they need more space. So now Bonnie takes Blaze and I down there and says, I have an idea for you and your team. We want to make this storage building another classroom for the kids. So immediately my answer was yes. hope you guys are good with that. My answer was immediately yes. What can we do? How can we do it? And from there, it just kind of blossomed into this is what we're going to do. Of course, we'll do other things while we're there as well, but this will be the main focus of that trip to try to help that community and bring them more hope and love and all of the things.
So basically, to clarify, we're taking like a storage shed, which is probably, many of us probably have something like this in our backyard, and converting it to a classroom.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I like it. Y'all game?
Yeah, who's going with me?
Yeah, sign up. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how we'll do it. Hey, I want to say not only thanks to Amber publicly for leading the trip and the rest of the team that gave up of their fall break and of their time and funds and all of that stuff. I'm going to invite them to the Starting Point room, that area back there at the end, back part of the auditorium, because they desperately want to share their story, right? And we all get this, right? When we come back from a trip, whether it was a fall break trip, it was a summer vacation, and people ask us, you know, about our trip, we want to tell them, right? That's why we post pictures online, because we want to share that experience. And that's what this mission team wants to do as well. And look, if I paraded them all up here and we got talking, we'd be here all day, and I'm sure y'all are hungry, so we're not going to do that. What we are going to do is have the mission team back at the Starting Point room, and I want to encourage you, especially those of you who were like, I got questions, right? Or you seriously thought about going this year and it didn't work out, or 2024, these folks have got the answers. Invite them to tell you their experience and what God did in and through their lives. And so I want to publicly not only thank Amber, but all of you guys for going on the team. Crosswind Church, can we put our hands together and thank them real quick? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So regardless of your situation, right, whether you're like Wyatt Cunningham and you're a college student, you're like the Vazelles, a young married couple, you're like Blaze and Amber, just a family that has fallen in love with MDM, you're one of the wisest people in the room, like J.P. Prather, all of you should consider going one time. And if you've got questions, I highly, highly encourage you guys to invite the team into those spaces. If you've got some time, please make sure to talk to them after the service. Invite them to lunch. If time is of the essence, invite them to lunch. Get their contact information. You can swap emails, all of those things. Get your questions answered. Questions like, is it safe? How hard are we really going to work? Because pushing that yellow thing up the hill, that didn't look fun. Is the food good? Right, you got to eat, right? I love to eat, right? Like all these questions that are running around in your mind. Ask these guys these questions. I'm sure they would love to share with you their experience. So today at Crosswind Church, the challenge has been issued, and I want to invite you to go. I want to invite you to give. So if you'd like to go, if you'd like more information as we put all of this together, you can sign the QR code that's on the seat in front of you. You can sign up on the app. If you're online, you can find the link tree in our socials. Starting today, sign-up's available. If you'd like more information, we're not taking deposits or any of that stuff right now. We just want to know if you'd be willing to go. Sign up starting today. If not go, would you give? Right, wherever it is that you give, if you drop money off in the offering boxes, if you like to give, simply write COMO on it so we know where that money needs to go. If you give online through the digital space like PushPay, make sure that you select COMO, which is in the drop-down menu. Year-round, it's always there. This fund is open year-round. So whether you give recurring, a one-time thing, it's always available to give to either help out with the financial assistance of people going or the projects like this new classroom that we're going to be accomplishing in 2026. Everyone, one time. Think about it. Consider it. Let's go. Or let's give. Or, my personal favorite, do both. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you haven't just called us to Sunday songs and sermons. I'm so thankful that the gospel is not just reserved for Union City, that it's for anyone, it's for all, it's for everyone. And you have called us in rural Tennessee to a long-term partnership with the people of Honduras. And I'm so excited of the opportunities to be able to partner with them as we spread the gospel because it is good news to any, all, everyone who would believe. God, I pray as we think through, as we consider going, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would encourage us to ask the appropriate questions, to ask questions of the team that just got back, to consider what it would look like to take time off work, to consider what it would look like to budget better. Help us, Holy Spirit, to take the next steps in our faith. Not for the benefit or the back padding of Crosswind Church, but so that you would get the glory through it all. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody at Crosswind Church said, amen. You guys have a great, great week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@crosswindchurch.net. And download our free app, I Am Crosswind, to keep up to date on all things Crosswind Church.